hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.
The Lutheran Hour is brought to you each week through the support of faithful listeners like you. To help extend the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour, go to LutheranHour.org. Join us again next week as we celebrate Easter and the resurrection of our Lord. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.
FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
The members of Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls now invite you to join them in their regular Sunday morning service of worship, now in their 72nd year of broadcasting. Peace Lutheran Church offers these services in order to bring the comfort and instruction of God's holy word to the sick, the shut-in, and the traveler. Hymns to be sung today are taken from the Lutheran Service Book, Divine Service, Setting 1, page 151. Hymns to be sung are Lutheran Service Book number 442, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, number 971, There Is a Redeemer, and number 441, Ride On in Majesty. Following the opening hymn, Pastor Samuel Morshing will lead the congregation in worship. The sermon theme is Humbled Before God. The sermon text is Philippians 2:5-11. We take you now to the sanctuary of Peace Lutheran Church.
Children, process with palms this morning. stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will, in walking your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to speak with me responsibly, the introit. But you, O Lord, do not be far off.
O you, my help, come quickly to my aid.
Save me from the mouth of the lion.
You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning?
All who see me mock me. He trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him.
Let him rescue him, for he delights in him.
Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help.
But you, O Lord, do not be far off.
O you, my help, come quickly to my aid.
Save me from the mouth of the lion.
You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Invite the congregation, please be seated.
Thank you. The Old Testament lesson is from Zechariah 9:9-12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Is he humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey? I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read along with me the gradual. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward you will receive me to glory. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. The epistle reading is from Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equally with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
At this time, we continue with the Lenten verse. Please stand as you are able. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th and 27th chapters. With these two chapters, if there is need to be seated, please do not feel that you can't. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the place of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, 'Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people.' Now when Jesus was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor.' But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.' Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?' And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man is as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them, again he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man, seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, Friend, do what you came to do. Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witness do we need? You have now heard this blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another slave girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas the betrayer saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, you have said so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said, let him be crucified. And he said, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And the crowd answered, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and put a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him, and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests and the scribes and the elders mocked him, saying, he saved others. he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly this was the Son of God. There were also many women there looking on from the distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. Next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, sir, we remember how this impostor said while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, he is risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard of soldiers. Go make it secure as you can. So they went away and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
At this time, I invite the congregation to be seated, and the children present may come forward for a children's message. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you this morning? Good, yeah. We heard the reading from the gospel about Jesus and how he was crucified. Does it sound like a good story and the way it should have gone? No. But why did God do what he did by going to the cross? What was the reason behind Jesus being accused and being condemned to die on the cross? Did God have a reason behind what happened? Yes, God has a reason for Jesus going to the cross, being nailed to it. God did this so that you could be forgiven of all your sins. That's why Jesus stretched out his arms and was nailed to the cross, so that you could be forgiven and so that God would be able to give to you life. So it seemed kind of strange that Jesus would die, but then that you get to live because of that. Kind of is really strange for some people. And yet, this is what God has done, because he loves you and he wants you to know him and to be in a relationship to where you can love him. So that's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why Jesus allowed them to do all those terrible things to him. He did it because he loves you, and God loves you and wants you to be with him. So, should we thank Jesus? Yeah, we really should thank Jesus. And what are some ways that you can thank Jesus for going to the cross and dying for your sins? What do you guys think? What are some ways of thanking him? Or what can you do that show you are thankful? By praying, right? Praying to God. How about coming to church and worship services? Is that a good way of showing God that you are thankful for what he's done? Yeah. Not only do we hear once again what he's done, but we are able to do what they did and sing praises to him and sing praises thanking him. And so we do that when we gather together in worship. And so that's the reason I'm so glad that you are here today, to hear the good news of what Jesus has done, but also that you're able to be here and thank God that he loves you and that Jesus died for you and that you have life in him. So let's, at this time, join with our congregation and say an echo prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus. To be my Savior who died upon the cross. Please help me always trust in him. To know your love for me. To share this love with others. And to be satisfied with the life you have given me. Today and the life for eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for coming up and for being such good listeners this morning. At this time, our congregation is going to continue by singing hymn that's number 971, There Is a Redeemer.
Jesus, God's own
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a phrase, short, 7 words, that I heard often while attending classes at the seminary. God is God, and I am not. It's a quick way to be reminded, as Job was, that you and I do not know the mind of God, nor do we understand a fraction of what he knows. God is all-knowing. He created you and me, and yes, he loves his creation. And you and I, we know this because he has revealed it to us. He has revealed this about himself. He is not a God who's just wrapped up in his own affairs, having created us and gone off to do something else. He is a God who is concerned about his creation, who loves his creation, who cares deeply about each one of us, you and me. God certainly knows his place in the relationship of creator and creation. We do not need to remind him of who he is. He is the one that called light out of the darkness. He is the one who separated the waters and formed the earth. He is the one who set the sun, the moon, and the stars in the heavens. He is the one who created and gave life to fish, birds, and all animals. He is the one who fashioned man in his image and breathed into him the breath of life. God is God. He is over and above his creation. There are times when man needs to be reminded of the role that we have in this relationship with the Creator. When Job was afflicted, his friends came and wrongly explained to him the reason why he was afflicted. They said that he had sinned against God, and they were speaking what they believed to be the truth, and was often the case for others who'd suffered in their life. But these false words, once spoken, were as though they were the words that came from God himself, even though they weren't. And that is why Job needed to pray to God on behalf of the friends who had spoken out of turn. They said, "Well, Job, you sinned against God," as though they knew what God's mind was and the reasons that God allowed Job to be afflicted. And then we hear also not only about these men, but we also hear of God and Job. We can briefly mention the interaction that God has with Job in chapter 40 of Job. After Job is complained that he has done nothing wrong and that this is not what should be happening, and his friends have already been saying, "Well, you've done something wrong," finally, we hear God's response. He asks Job, How and where were you when the foundations of the earth were set? How does this happen? How is this? When did this occur? Questions that no human can answer. And the Lord said to Job, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? Somebody who's saying that this is the wrong thing, a fault finder finding fault with God? Shall this fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it. Let him answer all these questions that God has posed to him about the foundations of the earth, how it all came to be, how it is all formed and fashioned. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I've spoken once, and I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further. God is God, and Job is not. Nor are you, or I, or anyone else. Yet the lesson of Job seems to be lost to quite a few people. For I've heard it said of people, and from some words in their own mouth, as they're having difficulty with God's plans, and they offer up statements that are similar or in this vein of thought. Well, if this is of God, then I want no part of him. If suffering is part of God's plan for the world, then I reject him. Why does God allow good people to undergo suffering? If that's something that he allows, then I want nothing to do with him. If God says the desires of my heart are wrong, well, I say he's wrong. Basically, they're saying, God cannot tell me no. Yet God is God, and I am not, nor are you, nor is any other human, no matter their IQ or how ingenious they may be. Certainly, there is a vast difference, a gulf between who God is and who you and I are as creation. And this difference, when we highlight it, it makes what we heard in the gospel so utterly astonishing. The God who has created all the heavens, the earth, everything that has breath of life in it, we hear how he became what he had created. The reading from Philippians, how Paul describes what happens. How God, he says, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, Jesus. It says, but emptied himself. Yeah, he emptied himself. God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, well, Jesus, he did not use that power. Yeah, he suffered. He did not overcome. He did not call to God in order to have legions of angels sent to prevent the crucifixion. No. He emptied himself, becoming and taking the form of a servant, being born, first of all, in the likeness of man, whom he had created. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Certainly the accusations against him were false. Certainly it was not right for them to cry for him to be crucified. And yet he became obedient. The God who is over all heaven and earth did this for you and for me. Death upon the cross. And that is why you and I celebrate the name of Jesus. As Paul says, you and I, we know what God has done. We know what Jesus did, greater than anything that you and I could do. Yes, that going to the cross, humbling himself, that brings to us life. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. He is over all. He is God. He is the one who has saved you and me from all of our sins. We could not do it. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ humbled himself to pay for your sins, to pay for my sins, to pay for the sins of every man, woman, every child, boys and girls. This is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. God is God, and he has made you, he has redeemed you, and he looks to continue to be in this relationship with you so that you would know of his great love, greater than anything that we could ourselves experience or that we ourselves could muster up within us. This great God, he has died and become your Savior. You and I, we are wonderful recipients of God's love. We are called to live in this world, to live lives where we give God the glory. We are not above one another. We all need a Savior. And that's why Paul calls us to be humble before God, to live humbly before one another. For we all need Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the one whose name is over and above every other name. Jesus, yes, he is your Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard our hearts and minds firmly in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, I invite you to speak together with me the Apostles' Creed as we confess the faith we have in our triune God, the God who is God. Please stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, your Son humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Fix our faith upon his death for our salvation. Enrich the proclamation of the gospel and enliven our hearts to live out this faith until Christ comes again in glory. Lord, in your mercy, uphold this world in your order. Preserve the church and the preaching of your word against all enemies. Bless our homes, that parents and children may serve one another faithfully and grow in instruction and faith until life's end. Give health and wisdom to all who serve in public office, that their authority may be exercised for the benefit of our people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God Almighty, our Lord Jesus did not count his equality with you something to be grasped, but humbled himself. Grant us a mind like his to spurn all worldly equality and humbling ourselves to find your greater portion in the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of hosts, your Son came to deliver his people from all evil. Take away the fear of all who suffer in this world, especially Rick, Glenn, Wayne, Teddy, Tracy, Leon, and Arlene. As they await the fullness of their salvation, fix their eyes upon their crucified Savior. Lord, in your mercy, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father.